This year's wide receiver draft class is absolutely loaded, and it's going to help either your favorite team or a lot of your fantasy football teams this fall. But in this video, we're just looking at the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the top 10 wide receivers in this year's draft class. Starting with number 10, Keon Coleman out of Florida State, and here's a couple of positives right away. He is an early declare as he's just 20 years old. That is definitely a plus for Coleman. Coleman spent 3 years in college, with his first two being at Michigan State, where he didn't play much as a freshman, but as a sophomore, posted a career-high 798 yards at just 19 years old. And an important piece to point out is in that career high year of 798 yards, he played with Jaden Reed, who is now on the Packers, who had a great rookie year, and he actually outproduced Reed. That is a big feather in the cap of Keon Coleman. Coleman then transferred to Florida State, where as you can see right here, he had a 50 catch season, according to Player Profiler, 658 yards, and he did this while playing next to another future NFL receiver in this year's draft class in Johnny Wilson, who we actually talked about in our most overlooked rookies video. Now, these are all positives, but truthfully, Coleman never had a massive season. He never topped 58 catches or 800 yards, so he never had a breakout campaign. So the production was already in question, and then he showed up to the NFL Combine, and it wasn't all that great. Because according to Player Profiler's workout metrics, he ran a 4.61 40 time, which for his size at the wide receiver position, it's not a death sentence by any means, but you can see right here, the speed score that factors in his size, 62nd percentile. So like around an average wide receiver. So when you don't have great college production, or at least anything elite, and then you just have average speed, that's a little bit of a concern. But we must take this into account. Keon Coleman actually went out there, and when you look at his gauntlet drill, when they're running through straight across the field trying to catch some passes, Coleman had the fastest GPS speed on the gauntlet drill, which shows his confidence in his hands, and that just kind of indicates his real game speed is pretty good. Coleman mostly profiles out, you can call these his strengths, as a vertical threat who can beat press coverage and win contested catches, but his downsides are he's just not really known as a route runner or having separation skills. Now, when you're known as a contested catch guy really only in college, that's a concern at the NFL level. It's going to be harder to do that against bigger defensive backs, at least consistently, and it'll really depend on your quarterback's accuracy. In my opinion, this makes him a pretty risky prospect. His upside comp in the NFL for me looks like somebody like a Cortland Sutton. Now, our number 9 wide receiver in this year's draft class is Troy Franklin out of Oregon, and this is really going to come down to his landing spot. He's probably not a number 1 receiver for a team, but he could be a great 2 in an offense. There's honestly a lot to love about Franklin. He's an early declare who spent 3 years at Oregon, so he's young at just 21 years old, and he actually just turned 21. Franklin broke out in his second year at Oregon. He was just 19 years old, and as you can see right here, he put up over 60 receptions, nearly 900 total yards, and his overall yards per catch, his usage downfield, increased as he averaged 14.6 yards per catch. Franklin then had his best season in 2023 with Bo Nix. They were a great overall offense and team. Bo Nix will probably be like a second round NFL draft pick this year at the quarterback position, and Franklin goes out there and has nearly 1,400 yards. He was the number 1 graded PFF wide receiver in 2023, earning an insane 3.77 yards per route run. Franklin's best known for being a downfield wide receiver. He showed elite production downfield, but also efficiency. So you have a young and productive wide receiver from a major conference. What's the issue? Well, one minor issue, and I call it minor because I really don't think it's all that important when you look at it just on its own, is his size at just 176 pounds. And hear me out, 176 pounds is not a tiny wide receiver. It's definitely not a big wide receiver, but you can't just judge it in a vacuum. You have to look at the rest of the context. The production was good in college. Okay, that's good. So the size probably doesn't matter as much, but how about some other factors we should consider? Well, when you look at the tape, Franklin does struggle at times with his size and strength, especially when he's facing press coverage. So that's a concern about his size. Now, we've seen similar issues from other smaller first-round wide receivers like a Jameson Williams and even a Jalin Hyatt the past few years of the draft. Now, it also doesn't help, but again, it's not a death sentence, that Franklin only ran a 4.41 at the NFL Combine. And a 4.41 is elite speed, but when you factor in he's 176 pounds across all wide receivers that size, his speed score is just 53rd percentile. So he has just average speed for his size, but he does have that good production, but the film is a little bit suspect when he starts to see bigger defensive backs and get pressed. Now, here's the thing. When I'm putting these lists together, I'm trying to think like a GM. I'm not trying to think what I would do. I would probably have Franklin a little bit higher based on that production, but GMs, when they see the size and not the great speed for that size, that matters. Troy Franklin's upside comparable for me would be Christian Watson, but the only issue is Watson had a bit more size coming out of college and was an athletic monster at the combine, actually one of the best combine testers ever. You'll probably see Franklin go somewhere in the second round in the NFL draft. If it's earlier in the second round, that will definitely boost his stock. Now, the next man up is Ricky Pearsall out of Florida, and there's probably been no one who has seen their stock rise more during this pre-draft process than Pearsall. This dude's been checking every single box along the way, and here's what you need to know. Pearsall spent 5 seasons in college, starting his career at Arizona State, where he played 3 seasons and had decent production before transferring to Florida, where he spent his final 2 seasons. And look, Ricky's stats aren't going to blow you away even when he transferred to Florida. Now, he had his best numbers there, 661 yards in 2022, his final year in 2023, 2023, a career high in basically every single metric, 65 receptions, 965 receiving yards, and he was actually used all over the field at Florida. Now, when you look at the actual breakdown, Pearsall did spend most of his time in the slot, where he was the most efficient number one wide receiver out of the slot in the entire SEC. But he's also able to win on the outside when he goes there. This is not just your prototypical slot wide receiver. As you can see right here from Daniel Jeremiah, these are some of the weigh-in stats. They kind of all look wonky, a bunch of numbers, but focus on this top part right here. He's 6'1", 189 pounds. That's not your typical wide receiver out of the slot. Those guys are usually in the lower 180s. They're under 6 foot. This is a bigger plus size wide receiver. Now, Pearsall's greatest strengths are his route running and IQ. He knows how to get open and fight through contact. So adding this context is really good, but it gets even better when you consider that he looked great at the Senior Bowl against his peers and some of the best defensive back seniors in the country. And oh yeah, then he showed up to the NFL Combine and absolutely lit it on fire, showing that he's really, really athletic. A 4.41 40 time. Again, he is 189 pounds, 15 pounds bigger than Troy Franklin, and ran the same 40 time. That's going to matter. 71st percentile speed. His burst, agility, catch radius. Look at all these. The closer these are to 100th percentile, the better. They're all basically there. 98th, 97th, and 99th. He is very athletic. So you're getting a savvy route runner who's really efficient out of the slot, and now he's an elite athlete. Yeah, that's good. A good comparable is Emmanuel Sanders, who was a slot wide receiver to start his career, but also found success on the outside in the NFL. His route running was great, and he played well into his 30s at the pro level. Look, there's not going to be another Puka Nacua in this draft class, but Pearsall could be the closest thing to it. Pearsall was a productive and efficient college prospect going under the radar, but the big difference is Nacua went in the fifth round. The cat's out of the bag with Pearsall. He's trending to be a second round pick. Now, our number seven wide receiver on this list is going to be Xavier Worthy out of Texas, and he's another smaller prospect. As you can see right here, he's just 5'11", and the big thing is his weight. He's only 165 pounds, but there's a big difference between his weight and Troy Franklin. And just for starters, Tank Dell was drafted last year at just 165 pounds, and we obviously saw him have a great rookie season. Now, here's the two important pieces of information you need to know about Xavier Worthy and what separates him from other smaller wide receivers. Number one is he ran the fastest 40 time ever at the NFL Combine. A 4.21 40 time is downright insane. And number two, Worthy was an elite producer all 3 years in college. Worthy spent all three of his college years at Texas, and despite playing with multiple different quarterbacks during that time, he still produced at an elite level. You can see right here, as an 18-year-old true freshman, Worthy earned over 100 targets. He put up nearly 1,000 yards. Again, an 18-year-old true freshman. Normally, these guys don't even step on a football field. He's posting nearly 1,000 yards in a major conference. He has the second highest breakout score, only behind Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. And if you've been following draft coverage, those are two of the best, probably the best wide receivers in this draft class for sure. Now, he backed up his production in 2022, playing in some games with a backup quarterback and still posting 117 targets and 760 yards. But 2023 was maybe his most impressive year, as he had a career high of over 1,000 yards, 75 receptions. And this was while playing next to Adonai Mitchell, who's probably also going to be either a late first round pick or second round pick at the wide receiver position, and JT Sanders, who will probably be like a third round, probably the second or third best tight end in this draft class. So here's the deal. Smaller and fast wide receivers can feel sketchy. Jalin Hyatt last year didn't do too much. John Ross in the past, but this is a different wide receiver because he actually produced for 3 years in college. So the difference between Worthy and Troy Franklin as smaller prospects is that Worthy had the better college productions for 3 years, and oh yeah, he ran that elite 40 time compared to Franklin's, which was just average for his size. And one more thing, he's not just this downfield speedster. Some of his other strengths, he's a pretty good route runner, and he has strong footwork. Now, his biggest downside might be obvious. Based on his size, it's going to be his strength, but we can see him, like he did in college, win in other areas like a Marquise Brown has in the NFL using other elite traits like speed and footwork. The number six wide receiver in this year's draft class is Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. He spent all three seasons there, but when you look at his production, you might need some more context because it doesn't look great. He started his career in 2021 when he puts up 31 catches and 447 yards, and you might be like, okay, that's not great, but yeah, it was his first year. But hold on, let's break this down a little bit. Because when you consider he was playing alongside a first round pick this year in Brock Bowers at the tight end position, a potential first round pick in Adonai Mitchell, and then, oh yeah, Jermaine Burton, who will probably be a second or third round pick, it starts to get a little bit more impressive. Because despite that competition, McConkey still led the Georgia wide receiver room as a freshman in receptions and receiving yards. Then in 2022, he had a career best year while still playing next to Brock Bowers and Adonai Mitchell. He goes for 58 catches, 762 yards. It becomes even more impressive when you consider he was winning in tougher situations while tight end Brock Bowers was seeing the screens in the middle of the field, the schemed open production. No, you had Ladd McConkey having to create on his own. When you look at his 2023 numbers, they won't stand out to you. He battled through injuries. He only played in 9 games, and even in those games, he was playing banged up, just 30 catches, 478 yards. None of that is great, but he did start to get used more downfield, averaging an average reception of 15.9 yards. So adding some context makes those numbers look good, and honestly, when you watch his tape, it's great. He put some great tape out there. And he earned an elite 3.7 yards per route run before injury, which ranked 4th fourth best in the entire nation, ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, one question I had while watching some of this film is, what do I think his greatest strengths are? Ladd is a creative and elite route runner who is quick off the line of scrimmage and strong after the catch. So Ladd McConkey was already rising for me, and then he shows up to the Senior Bowl and was probably the best wide receiver there, and then he shows up to the combine and runs in the 4.3s. He ran a 4.39 40 time at nearly 190 pounds. Now, he's starting to check all these boxes for me. He's NFL ready in terms of route running. He can separate. He did it at a major program in college for production, and now he shows he has speed. I honestly can't really think of a major downside for his game. Like, he's not a jump ball receiver guy, but that's honestly a good thing because he wins as a route runner. Now we get to the top five, and it starts with Adonai Mitchell, who, if you thought his teammate Xavier Worthy's profile was impressive, let's break down Adonai Mitchell. Mitchell started his career at Georgia, where he competed with Ladd McConkey, who we discussed, Brock Bowers, Jermaine Burton, and even George Pickens in 2021 when Mitchell was 19 years old, and he still was able to produce 57 targets and 426 yards. Then in 2022, Mitchell got injured. He ended up transferring to Texas for his final year. Mitchell mostly worked on the outside in this good Texas offense with Quinn Ewers, and he ended up posting 55 catches, 845 yards. These were all career highs, and keep in mind, he was playing next to Xavier Worthy, one of the most productive receivers in the country the last 3 years. So what you get out of Adonai Mitchell is an early year wide receiver who wins downfield and found success at two major programs in Georgia with competition and Texas with competition. So Mitchell's production is a concern to some people, but you have to add the context, and when you actually watch his tape, this dude is special. He's a great route runner who just flies by defenders and tracks the ball extremely well in the air. He can win off the line of scrimmage and separates downfield. You could already tell based on his tape he was fast. He was just flying and gliding by defenders, but then at the NFL Combine, oh my god, this guy's nuts. He ran a 4.34 40 time. A 4.34 at his size of over 200 pounds is absolutely elite. 97th percentile speed, and then, oh yeah, goes out there and does insane jump drills. His burst score, 96th percentile. And let's just put this into context a little bit. Warren Sharp says, only two wide receivers of the Combine since 2015 have ran in the 4.3s or less, been 6'2 and at least 205 pounds. DK Metcalf, and now Adonai Mitchell. Now, his one flaw that I can think of is around his jump ball ability, which is something that is teachable, and honestly, it's not like an elite trait you need to have. Now, another potential red flag that PFF points out right here, basically, if you read this whole paragraph, it says that his yards per route run, which is a wide receiver's efficiency, wasn't all that great compared to what it should have been. Now, that isn't great by any means, but it's just one metric, and it can be explained based on maybe injuries and getting to a new program where his new quarterback in Quinn Ewers, oftentimes last year, was overthrowing him downfield. Now, our number four wide receiver is going to be Brian Thomas out of LSU, who's kind of going under the radar because both his quarterback and another receiver on his team are probably going to be top 10 picks in the NFL draft this year. Now, if you're following the NFL draft, you probably know about Brian Thomas, but for the casual fan, they likely have no idea who he is, and that's a mistake because he's probably going to be a top 20 pick. Thomas spent 3 years at LSU, where his production wasn't much his first two seasons because he played behind some other future NFL players like Kayshon Boutte, who ended up getting drafted by the Patriots last year. But even though he didn't play those first 2 years, check this out. Thomas was among college football's best separators for his entire career, not just his final year that we're about to discuss, his first 2 years as well when he actually stepped on the field. And when he stepped on the field in a great offense in 2023 for LSU, he looked great. 68 catches, nearly 1,200 yards, and then he had 17 touchdowns, which led all of college football, and he did all of this while playing next to Malik Nabers, who is one of the best wide receivers we've seen in the last 10 years. And then the dude shows up to the NFL Combine and runs a 4.33. A 4.33, 99th percentile speed, shows great burst, and it's not like he's 170 pounds. No, Thomas is 209 pounds. He is elite wide receiver size, or great wide receiver size, with elite speed. That is amazing. Now, the concerns for Thomas, let's discuss them. It took him until year three to break out, and his overall route tree is not that diverse. But it's more so because he just wasn't asked to run those routes at LSU. It doesn't mean that he can't do it. At the end of the day, Brian Thomas is a rare athlete who is just 21 years old and has shown an ability to run a full route tree and has been efficient, especially downfield, while competing with top talent in Malik Nabers. He'll be a first-round pick in this draft class, and I do get some Nico Collins vibes from him. Now, before we enter the top three wide receivers for this draft class, and these guys are on a different tier, they're just special, I want to let you know about the 2024 Fantasy Blueprint. If you want to win your fantasy league, and most of you watching this have a league, and you probably want to beat your friends, this is for you. It'll have everything you need to do just that. Win your league, and I'll help you all the way up until your draft, but then also throughout the entire season, every single week, for a low price of just $10 for the entire year. You get it all year. And now, here's the real kicker. You just follow these two simple steps. They'll be linked in the description below. And if you don't make your fantasy playoffs for any reason, I don't care what the reason is, I'll just refund 100% that $10. So this is risk-free. You can just get this for a limited time only, risk-free. So click the link in the description below or scan the QR code on the screen to get it at a limited time price of just $10, because then it's going up pretty soon. So get it right now if you're watching with that QR code. So now we enter the top three, and these are going to be the guys who are day one starters, and they're probably all going to be top 10 picks. They're in a tier of their own. And we start with Rome Odunze, who is a senior. He played 4 years at Washington, but his 2020 season, you really can't count it. He only saw two games because of COVID. But in his next three seasons, you just continued to see the evolution and production pick up. 2021, 415 yards. 2022, he breaks out, 75 catches, over 100 targets, over 1,100 yards. 2023, insane year when they go to the championship game, over 1,500 yards and 87 catches. Now, in my opinion, this next piece of information is the most impressive part. Odunze did this while playing next to two other receivers who will definitely be drafted in likely rounds 2 to 4, and that's Jalen Polk and Jalen McMillan. So the translation here is that he was able to separate and consistently earn targets over two other NFL caliber wide receivers. That says a lot about how good Odunze is. And the guy just flat out wins everywhere. He wins off the line of scrimmage, against press, downfield, and at the catch point. And oh yeah, he's a great route runner. This dude is a legit top 10 pick. Now the main question for Odunze was, how athletic is he? Is he a really good athlete, or was he just bullying guys as a fourth year college player? Well, Odunze is definitely athletic, as you can see right here. He ran at 212 pounds, a 4.45 40 time elite, and then he shows a great burst, elite agility, an amazing catch radius. Everything that he did at the combine was great. He's a top 7% athlete of all time, and he's starting to check every single box. He had great college production while playing with two other future NFL receivers. His film looks incredible as he wins everywhere, and he's an elite athlete. If I'm being honest, I don't see a lot of flaws to this guy's game. Maybe yards after the catch, but that's more so a product of where he was earning his targets, not getting a lot of screens or crossing routes. I think he's a legit prospect and compares to somebody like a bigger Reggie Wayne. Now we get to the top two and the number two guy. If Odunze was considered a great player, top 10 pick, this next guy is elite, and he's the number one receiver in most draft classes, and it's a Malik Nabers out of LSU. Nabers is just 20 years old and spent three seasons at LSU, where he broke out in 2022, dropping over 1,000 yards on a 21% target share. Then he pops off in 2023 when he goes out there and has nearly 1,600 yards, is averaging almost 18 yards per reception, and he's doing this while playing next to another top five receiver in this class, Brian Thomas. He was the number one receiver according to PFF last year. Now check out this cool piece of information from the late round prospect guy. Since 2011, just one first round wide receiver entered the league under 21 years of age while hitting a max season yards per team pass attempt rate as high as Malik Nabers, and that guy was Amari Cooper. So you're getting Malik Nabers, who has historic wide receiver production while playing next to another top five prospect at the position in this class. That's just insane. And Nabers didn't run at the NFL combine, but he did at his pro day, where he reportedly ran a 4.35 40 time while weighing over 200 pounds. Now, as we've touched on in previous videos, the pro day times can be a little bit sketchy because it's their program trying to hype up their player even more. They might start that thing or end it a little bit sooner than they should. Honestly, Nabers has so many strengths, but let's talk about some of his top ones. Nabers can win in the slot and out wide, and his change of direction is like an elite running back. His footwork and explosiveness makes him a problem at the top of routes. He's deceptive and creative in his route running, a legit wide receiver. He's close to a flawless prospect, and to drive home this point, PFF's closest comparable is Antonio Brown, who's one of the greatest receivers of all time. Now, we've made it to number one, and for me, it is Marvin Harrison Jr., and he's the number one guy for a lot of people out there. I don't see a reason to have a hot take or get cute when this is the right answer. Now, Malik Nabers was elite and historic in 2023, but Harrison has put up elite numbers for multiple years while competing with top talent at another major program in Ohio State. Harrison is only 21 years old. He spent 3 years in college, where in his second year, when he actually got on the field, he just went eruption city, over 100 targets and nearly 1,300 yards. His efficiency numbers and production were great in 2022 while playing next to another future first-round pick in Ibuka at Ohio State, but then Harrison doubled this up in 2023 with a new quarterback, where he goes out there and he kind of has a similar stat log. In one less game, he has 67 catches and over 1,200 yards and has a career-high 18.1 yards per catch. Again, he did this while playing next to Ibuka at Ohio State, and according to the late-round prospect guide, Marvin Harrison's three closest statistical comparisons are A.J. Green, CeeDee Lamb, and Julio Jones. I mean, come on now. Harrison's top strengths are that he's an elite route runner who is three steps ahead of defensive backs when it comes to manipulation. Now, the only big question for Harrison is, why didn't he run the 40 time? Does it mean you're hiding something? Well, the way that I look at it is, he's already a top five pick in this year's draft class and viewed by many as the number one receiver, so why risk anything? Why risk an injury trying to train for it? Just don't do it. And now, the only other thing that some people have pointed to are his weaknesses. In this paragraph, they talk about his weaknesses on PFF, but he actually improved already. You can see right here, he had 4.2 yards after the catch during 2022 season, and then it increased to 6.4 in 2023, already improving in his biggest weakness area. So these are the top top 10 wide receivers in the NFL draft. But like I said, there are so many other wide receiver prospects that are insane and good in this draft class. And we have some videos on the channel about those guys, like the most overlooked prospects. But if you want to now see who the top running backs, the top 10 are in this class, well, check out this lovely video right over here.